This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, this is about as authentic as it gets. Welcome into Inside the Braves booth alongside Joe Simpson and Jonathan Chadwick. Ben Ingram here with you. This is episode 22 of Inside the Braves booth podcast.
Tell me another podcast that has a little mariachi going
none.
In the background.
I know none.
Yeah.
We're sitting at Dodger Stadium right now, and as they are prone to do here at Dodger Stadium, they have certain nights where a mariachi band performs basically the entire game. It's outstanding. They're on and off throughout the whole game. It presents a different kind of energy in the ballpark, and as we're recording this, they're practicing out in right field right now.
Yeah, I love mariachi, and between innings, it is spectacular here, to say the least.
And they're all dressed up in their suits.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there must be, I don't know, a dozen or so members of the band, and they're performing right now and warming up. So they might play the entire episode. They might play for another 5 minutes. We have no idea.
But we're going to guesstimate there's a million rhinestones out there.
Yeah, there are. And that's the thing. They're practicing in the uniforms, the suits they're going to be wearing tonight.
Yeah, in the sun. It's hot.
Yeah, this is tremendous. So you got some mariachi in the background as we bring you episode 22 of Inside the Braves booth. So this is a road trip that will see the Braves take on the Padres and the Dodgers. They took on the Padres for four, split that series in San Diego. And last night, Joe, we saw the first game of the series, Braves and the Dodgers. And Dodgers won the game, but Freddie Freeman was the show. I mean, that's what everyone was talking about last night. And I think what we saw last night, about what we expected when it came to everything that led up to the ball game.
No, it was very chipper-like. It was very Chipper Jones-like what he did to step up in that first at-bat and hit a homer against Atlanta. And Chipper used to do that all the time when he come off the disabled list. You'd think, well, I wonder how long it'll take him to get back into the fold. And then, boom, first at-bat, he's hitting balls into the bay in San Francisco or something like that. And you're going, I think he's okay. Last night was very bittersweet, to say the least. It was very emotional. I know it was for Freddie, as we have been told about how difficult it was for him to conduct interviews and talk about it. I heard him on the Dodger postgame show, and he was asked about, of all the things that happened to him yesterday, he went in the Braves clubhouse long before the game. He was presented a Silver Slugger Award with Snit and Kevin Seitzer standing at his side.
Right.
He hits a home run his first at bat. Of all those things, what stood out the most for him? And he said, I'd have to say being able to go in the Braves clubhouse and see my brothers and the guys that I won a championship with. That broke my heart. It really did. I thought, you know what? I know where his loyalties still lie. He's a Dodger, and he's certainly going to play well for them. But somehow this went sideways on Freddie.
I think that's exactly right. And seeing him on the field before the game, how much time he spent around the team during BP, the Braves team, that is. I saw him interact more with the Braves before the game than we saw him interact with his own teammates before the ball game. I think you nailed it. I think there is a part of this that took place during the offseason that didn't go the way that Freddie wanted it to go. And he ended up with the Dodgers. But I think if he could go back and rewind and have this thing to do all over again, it wouldn't have played out this way. That's what I gather from everything that we witnessed.
Agreed. Yeah. And, you know, Chipper said as much in an interview that he conducted with our flagship station, 680 The Fan, before the season, where, you know, he said, I advised, and I'm paraphrasing for Chipper's quote, but he said, my whole career, any new player, young player that came up, and they talked about representation, in other words, agents, I told them, you have to be in control of your life and your career. You can't let somebody else. You've got to want what you want to have happen, not what somebody else wants to have happen. And I thought that spelled it out perfectly.
Yeah, I think so too. So last night we watched Freddie Freeman in a Dodger uniform for the first time. He hit his first Dodger home run, and poetically it comes against his former team, the Braves. And when he hit it, Joe, I know we were all looking at each other thinking, we had to have known this was coming.
Storybook.
You just felt like it was going to happen just like that.
Yeah, it was a movie script thing, and we're in Hollywood, so that figures. But you and I looked at each other, and then I looked at Jay Chad, and we couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
This place was delirious with Freddie chants, so it was like it was destined to happen.
Yeah, it was. And then the game started, and the Dodgers took off for a little while with 6-0, and then the Braves started to come back in the ballgame, fell short. But I liked seeing the come-from-behind effort last night. I'm hoping that it allows them to take some momentum into tonight's ballgame and tomorrow, because I think you feel much better about where you are on the mound tonight and tomorrow. It'll be Max Fried tonight, Charlie Morton the following day. And even though this has been a really difficult place for the Braves to win for several years, knowing what you've got on the mound and knowing what you can do at the plate, and we saw him yesterday in those two innings really come to life offensively. You go into it, in my opinion, thinking you can take this series and take two out of three here in L.A.
Yeah. You know what? Braves hung four runs on Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
In five-plus innings. That was good work. That's something not too many people have been able to do, certainly this season with the start he had against Minnesota. And he was pitching well against the Braves until second or third time through the order. So that was an excellent comeback. But with all that we can talk about today with the roster moves that have transpired since the end of the game last night, I agree 100% with everything that has happened. I'll go ahead and start. I mean, Waskari Noah sent back to AAA, and Sean Newcomb is out of options. So he was DFA'd. That means designated for assignment. And he has to clear waivers to go back to AAA, and he doesn't even have to accept that. He can become a free agent if no one claims him. I think somebody will claim him.
Right.
He's big, he's breathing, and he's left-handed. So somebody will claim him, I think, that certainly is a little short-handed on pitching. But those two moves especially had to happen right now.
Yeah, I think there will be a team that says, we can do something with this guy, and that'll be that.
And then that might happen, Ben.
Right.
It might be the same comments coming from a different voice that just registers with Sean in a different way that might help him reach his potential.
Yeah, well, we saw him for a while. I mean, it was you kept having hope that Sean would eventually get on track and get there, and it just never happened. Braves are called Tuki Toussaint and Dylan Lee. So you mentioned that they DFA'd Sean Newcomb, and Waskari Noah is option in AAA. So those are the two players who come up in Tuki and Dylan Lee. And going with Tuki, some of the same things we've said about Sean, you could also apply to Tuki Toussaint. We haven't seen Tuki quite as long as we've seen Sean, but I think we have the same hope that eventually it will click and it will be there because we know how good his stuff is.
Flashes of brilliance from Tuki at times. He'll come up, make a start, and you'll think, okay, he's made some adjustments. He's locating better, or he's throwing his breaking ball for strikes and using it in better counts. You see something that you've been looking for from Tuki, and then the next start, it's not the same.
Right.
It's not there. He's just hasn't been able to sustain those flashes of brilliance, and let's hope this time is a different time around.
He was scheduled to start today, if I'm not mistaken, for AAA Gwinnett. So with him coming up and knowing what you're going to do with your rotation come May, where you're going to go 2-5 guys, do you view Tuki as the long man right now? Does he make a start for this ball club and then become the long man?
That's a good question. You know, when Enoa's turn comes up again, it'll be after the off day. So that might alter how many guys they want in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Dylan Lee, for sure, will be a long guy. He'll basically take Newcomb's spot as a long left-handed reliever.
Yeah.
A multiple inning reliever maybe these days would be more accurate. So whether or not Tuki gets a start remains to be seen. Could be a spot starter. Let's see. Let's see how everybody else pitches.
Club also announced that Jacob Webb was claimed off waivers by the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they also outrighted Chadwick Tromp to Triple A Gwinnett. So best of luck to Jacob Webb. He was an easy one to pull four waivers here.
No doubt. And a real bulldog, a lot of grit, loved him a lot. I think he will do well in Arizona. I hope he gets an opportunity there.
And then the last bit of news tonight, down in Jacksonville, Florida, Gwinnett takes on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, and there will be a rehab appearance for Ronald Acuna. He starts his Major League rehab assignment tonight with Triple A Gwinnett. And I think as far as this thing goes for this evening, let him play the ball game, have baseball activities, all that. See how you feel tomorrow and the day after that, and then you start to evaluate when you might see him back in Atlanta, and maybe that comes in the next few weeks.
That'll be awesome. I mean, I think moving him, I mean, getting him back and putting him at the top of the order and making the order that much deeper is certainly going to help.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will help Ozuna, where he can just concentrate on his offense, just be the DH all the time and not have to deal with defense too often. So I think all around it's just going to be a good move for Atlanta to get Acuna back. I can't think of a reason it won't be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we focus, and understandably so, we focus on what he brings to the lineup, how that shakes things out. But this team gets significantly better defensively in the outfield,
mm-hmm.
whether he's in right field or center field.
Right.
A vast improvement, not just with wherever he is, but with wherever you put the other two outfielders. Because right now, like you said with Ozuna, you can just DH him. You don't have to worry about putting him in left field and some of these other combinations. I think you're significantly better defensively.
You don't win championships unless you have good pitching and solid defense. Right now, the Braves' outfield defense is not championship caliber, and it's got to get better.
Yeah. Well, let's focus on tonight. I'm very excited for Max Fried. He started the season 0-2, but he's, I don't know, anytime he faces these guys, he's been so close a few times. I know he has had some really good performances against them. He's never won in this ballpark, and I know that every single start for him is big, but you can't convince me that there's not something special about him coming here,
mm-hmm.
given that he went to high school 20 miles from here. This is home for him, right. And winning in this ballpark has got to be a dream come true waiting to happen for him.
You know it is. Grew up in Santa Monica and Harvard Westlake High School, where he finished high school. You're right. It's just down the road, somewhere around the Ventura Highway freeway, I think. At any rate, he hasn't gotten off to a great start. He's been knocked around a little bit. He's been behind in some counts. He's due to get on track tonight,
mm-hmm.
and it couldn't come at a better time. And like you said, if the Braves win these next two games, they have a winning road trip. And they certainly could do it with Max and Charlie Morton on the mound due up the next 2 days.
I think that would be a huge springboard for the team, because if you could do that, you take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, you have a winning road trip, and then you go into your first off day coming up Thursday. That would end a two-week stretch of playing every single day. And I think you'd look back on the first 2 weeks of the season and say, okay, we're in a good spot. It's time to hit our groove, and let's see how things go the rest of the way.
Yeah, not only does the team have an off day on Thursday, I think they've got one the following Monday as well. So there's some rest coming up, and I think it'll do everybody a lot of good.
So we'll see what happens with Max tonight and Charlie tomorrow. I think with the first 12 games being played, the guy that I'm the most excited about right now is Kyle Wright. He's looked really, really solid in the trips that he's had to the mound. Very excited about the jumps that he could take this season. I think they can be very similar to the jumps that we've seen Max Fried take over the last few mm-hmm. seasons. And I just think about where this team might be in May and June. If you're looking back and saying, well, it's not just Max, Ian, and Charlie. You've got Kyle Wright in there, too. And if those four can be solid throughout the season, then you're talking about one other spot in your rotation. You piece that thing together, and you're sitting pretty on the mound.
Agreed. And I keep saying this about Kyle Wright. It's ace-like stuff right now. He's the best. He's looked the best of all the Braves starters. And if he can just keep that up, keep that mindset, there's nothing going to hold him back this year.
All right. So we'll continue to watch that tonight. Want to throw our email address out there to you again. It's bravesbooth@gmail.com. Any questions you have, any comments, you're never too early. You can fire away an email. We'll get to it eventually, and we've got plenty to get to here on episode 22 of From the Braves Booth. So we'll go ahead and dive into some of those questions and some of those comments. Again, we're coming to you from Dodger Stadium and coming up on game 2 of the series tonight.
One more thing before we get into the questions, and that is something I saw last night on the field. Maybe everybody else did too. Matt Olson had a whale of a game last night.
Mm-hmm.
And after his third hit, I think that might have been off Gratterall. I'm not sure, but he hit it between second and the shortstop up the middle. When he got to first, Freddie Freeman was standing at first, nodding his head up and down like, okay, I get it. I see what everybody's talking about.
Uh-huh.
And that was quite a subtle compliment from Freddie Freeman, I thought, for Matt Olson.
I think so, too.
Like,
I can't.
It's like, okay, I'm signing off.
Yeah, right. Torch is passed. I can't wait to see Matt Olson start coming to the plate with men on base. That'll be great.
Wouldn't that be a novelty?
Yeah. That'll be great.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Well, unfortunately, we only have two microphones right now. So if Jay Chad's going to get in on a question, I'll have to just come down here to one of our microphones and holler, which obviously you can do that anytime you want, JC. So feel free to do so. Let's start things off with a question from Paul. And Paul says, once Acuna is back, will we see everyone settle into their roles a little more from a lineup standpoint?
Yes, I think so.
Especially 1-6, I'm sure.
I mean, we started the season with Rosario leading off.
Yeah.
And he wasn't hitting, so he had to move down in the lineup. So, especially against left-handed starters, like last night against Kershaw, Ozzie Albies is the next guy up. He's, as a switch hitter, he can bat right-handed and lead off. And Ozzie's been tearing the cover off the ball. It's just that all of his hits have been homers. He's not had a lot of singles or doubles. So, with Acuna up there every day, all day, then that's going to just move everybody down a notch, and I think it's going to make them that much better.
I do, too. I can't wait to see that lineup settle in. We know how good it can be. And this isn't just for the first time this year. We're talking about the lineup settling in. We're talking about Acuna back at the top of the order for the first time since last July. I mean, that feels like forever ago. And, of course, they accomplished so much after the injury, and, of course, all the trades made all the difference in the world. But having him back at 100% and at the top of this lineup, I think it'll be fun to see everybody and how they settle in and have their own spots that they know they're going to be in every single go-round.
This is from Doug. Doug wants to know, is your press box attendant, in layman's terms, at Truist Ballpark, good-looking in person as he is online? If you could add one more feature to the World Series championship ring, what would it be? Perhaps music or the final play call by Ben? Just saying. And this question, who wants to know if Doug is as handsome as he is in person as he is online, comes from Doug. So the answer to your first question, Doug, is no, he's a mullion. Secondly, what I would add to the ring, the only thing is, like, if you lifted up the lid, is for it to start playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, that'd be great. See, I was thinking if you lift the lid up, you know those holograms that pop up? Maybe it's like a spinning Oreo, Oreo cookie.
Oh!
Oreo hologram.
Wouldn't that be something?
Anytime you open and close it.
Yeah.
That'd be my addition.
You got anything for that, Jay Chad? Do you agree with my analysis on the physical features of Doug? You're in.
He can dress nice. I like Doug's suits and his sports coat game.
Pocket squares.
Yeah, he's got that down.
But he's a mullion.
This is from Ashley. Outside of work, what's the best part of this road trip for the three of you? That's a good one.
It is. Mine's easy. You guys go.
I'll say, well, in San Diego, our hotel is attached to the ballpark by way of a crosswalk. You can go right into the ballpark from our hotel, so the convenience of that is great. If we had an off day, that would be nice because you could mix in the beach in either city. But I think the weather is tremendous, and I just love coming out here and feeling the weather and seeing these two ballparks. One's pretty new, and the other one's been around for 60 years, and I love working in both of them. So a lot of fun all the way around to San Diego and L.A.
The weather for me is at the very, very top of the list. I've got out and exercised every single morning, and I've had the same exact thought every single day, which is just, gosh, this weather is awesome. Second best was Saturday night. We had a day game Saturday afternoon and Saturday night. We all got a chance to go out to dinner together, and we had a great time. And anytime we have a chance to go out to dinner together, I love it.
Yeah, it's always fun.
My daughter and grandson live out here, so this stop in L.A. is always very special to me. and look forward to it every time.
And you're going to get to hang out with them a little bit after we leave town, right?
Yeah. I'm going to be off over the next weekend. So I'm and Jim Powell will be here, but that allows me to stay through Friday.
That'll be great.
And Kathy and I will leave on Friday to go back to St. Simon's.
I know you're looking forward to that. That'll be awesome. This is from Rob, and Rob says, is it just me, or does it seem like the Braves have played 100 games at Dodger Stadium recently?
Yes.
We were saying the same thing yesterday because we were here in September and October and now here in April. So we've been here more than we've been places in our own division.
Yeah, I put a few miles on some rental cars, trust me. but yes, we have been here a lot, and that's why last night I thought it was a surprise to me that the ball was not carrying out of here. There were balls that were hit last night, one by Justin Turner in particular, that he knew it was going out and it didn't. Somebody else hit one to dead center. Who was that? Gavin Lux?
Yeah.
One to dead center that Duvall caught that I know in the last couple of years were home runs.
Right.
Without any question. And they didn't leave the yard last night. So that says something about the home runs that were hit last night.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I can never really get a good idea on exactly what the ball is going to do here because sometimes it dies and you can't get it out of here. Other times it's flying out of here. And so I guess we'll just see what happens tonight. Hopefully Max Fried can keep these guys in the ballpark tonight and keep them off the board. And we'll see if the Braves can hit some more home runs. They've hit a bunch on this road trip already. Let's see. This question is for Ben and Joe. I think it's awesome that baseball has made a yearly tradition of honoring Jackie Robinson, but having done some sports play-by-play on radio in the past, I know how much broadcasters rely on those uniform numbers. How confusing is it for you guys when everybody on both teams is wearing number 42 and there are no nameplates on the jerseys? That's from Zach in Smyrna, Tennessee. And that's very observant because it gets challenging late in games when teams are going to relievers. We know who all the starters are. We know what they look like. I can see a guy walk up to the plate and distinguish, obviously, one starter to the next, but it's when relievers for another team start to come in, that's when it can get tricky, and I'll give the Padres some props. They did a really good job of making announcements in the booth so we knew who was warming up and who was coming to the game, and that really limited the confusion.
But you are correct. It is more difficult, but it's only one game a year, so it's not anything that we can't deal with, and especially for such a special occasion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have any
Yeah, I had one. Let's see. This is from Philip from Germany. Where would be the best seats in Truist Park to watch Matt Olson hit a walk-off homer in the NLCS? Except, of course, in the booth itself. You guys are awesome. Love listening to the podcast. All the best from Germany. Philip, where would you want to be to see that walk-off in the NLCS?
I'm going to assume he's going to hit it to the Chop House.
Yeah.
So I want to be in the melee out there
because
that place goes nuts anyway. So if he hits a walk-off homer to win a postseason game and he puts it in the Chop House, I want to be right in the middle of all that.
You're going to get a beer bath?
Absolutely.
Or something of that nature, and it's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I want to be also, Philip, is somewhere in that vicinity because it will be wild and crazy.
Here's a good question for you, Joe. This is from Ryan. It says, in your opinion, what will it take for Dansby Swanson to get out of the funk that he's in right now? We all know he's a 10-game hitting streak just waiting to happen, but he doesn't have it all right now. He also says, for Ben, how does it feel knowing your calls from the postseason last year, the clincher against the Dodgers, and then the clincher against the Astros will be played on highlight videos from here on out? Is that an intimidating feeling, Ryan? No, it's an incredible feeling. It's the best feeling I've ever had in my life, and I hope I hear them a million times for the rest of my life.
And they were such good calls, too. Something that you can be proud of, Ben. You know, there's some that you kind of want to go back and go, oh, man, I wish I had done that differently, or I wish I hadn't said that. And that was not the case with any of the calls for Ben in the postseason. They were all spot on and historic. What would I do for Dansby? I'd take him out of the lineup immediately. But that's just me. I think he needs to sit a day and regroup and not have to worry about trying to put the ball in play. Sometimes a hitter, when they get into this kind of strikeout funk, and you know who else could get into these is Freddie.
Freddie Freeman
could go into these strikeout melees at times, and he was chasing bad pitches, and that's what Dansby's doing, and I think Dansby's doing it because he's trying not to strike out. He would probably tell you otherwise, But last night, there were a couple of signs. Freddie robbed him on a line drive that was headed for right field, like he was trying to go the other way, that maybe he can get out of it. Brian Snitker is not of the opinion that you get out of a slump by coming out of the lineup, that he needs to play. And he said he's also playing good defense. He's not letting the bad start affect his defense. I appreciate that. But if you want to get Dansby's bat going, I would rest him a day. Maybe Wednesday, and then you got Thursday day off,
right?
And start back up Friday.
That's a good point. And I want to ask you, I want you to spell this out, because you've been down there, you've played. What can one day off do for a batter who's struggling? How can one day, one game where you're just hanging out, not worrying about going through the head game of being in a game, how can that solve things for a player?
I just think it helps your brain rest. I think it helps you relax a little bit. And it's not that you say to Dansby, look, don't even pick up a bat. I don't want you taking any batting practice. You just come to the bench and watch the game. I don't think that's the case. You still want him to probably take BP, but you just want his brain to rest.
Yeah.
And not to feel the, I'll call it pressure, the pressure that you put on yourself to get a hit every time you go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that would help him.
All right. Well, that's... We'll watch that, and hopefully he can bust out of it tonight. And that is a good idea, though. I like the idea of the off day for the day game Wednesday. Team has an off day Thursday. See you for the first game of the homestand coming up this weekend.
Here's one from Austin. He says, hi, guys. Austin here from Alabaster, Alabama. Where's Alabaster, Alabama? Do you guys know? Anybody know?
I'll look that up. I've heard it. I've seen it, but I can't remember exactly where it is.
That sounds pretty. Who is the best... most major league ready rookie you've ever seen in person, both for the Braves and then for a Braves opponent? Thanks, Austin.
Alabaster, due south of Birmingham.
Okay.
So there's that.
And you also, that's another question we'll get to in a second. The most major league ready rookie I ever saw in person, there's two of them. Ken Griffey Jr.
Uh-huh.
At age 19. And Andrew Jones at age 19. They were ready to play. There was not going to be any reason to go back to the minor leagues for either one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I think that, and I've said this for the last few seasons about how cool it could be to look back on 10, 12 years of watching Juan Soto and Ronald Acuna in this mm-hmm. division. I think mm-hmm. both of those guys came up and started tearing the cover off the ball. I think Freddie did a nice job when he came up. I remember he homered off of Roy Halladay.
And yeah.
Goes in at first base, and he didn't come out of first base for Atlanta for 12 years.
You're right.
Some really good examples there.
One more here from my side of the table. Tonight, the Dodgers have a unique giveaway. First 40,000 fans are going to get an adult hoodie sweatshirt.
Oh, nice.
With a Dodgers logo on it. I've not heard of that before. And Tracy wants to know, if you could create a giveaway / promotion for one of the Braves home games, what would it be? That's a good one. I like that, Tracy. Jonathan's got it. Jonathan's...
All right, come on down, JC.
Stepping up to the plate.
Easily for me, it would be a From the Braves Booth bobblehead.
Oh, okay. All right.
I hope people would come.
It would be a two-tiered one.
Yeah, he'd have to sit up above us.
Because he'd have to be up there above us with a little crown on.
Uh-huh. Have a little pack of Oreos right in the middle.
Yes.
And we could get really creative with that thing.
There's a guy who's, you know, self-professed to be the king.
Right.
There's the king right there.
Yeah, make JC the king. Yeah. We could all have our World Series rings on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd look great.
Yeah. I think it'd be awesome, and I'm not going to even counter that. I think that's a great idea.
That is a good one. All right, we've got time for one more. This is from Blake in Minnesota, and Blake says, watching the Dodgers game Monday night against the Braves in the sixth inning with A.J. Minter facing Freddie Freeman, the Braves played Freddie Freeman to pull in the infield, yet never threw one pitch in. All pitches were away. Can you explain this? Logically, it would make more sense for me, the fan, to pitch in to pull and away to go the other way. We appreciate you tuning in, Blake. And that's something I know you brought up several times, Joe.
Yeah, and I understand his questioning that if you're going to pitch him away, Freddie can go the other way real easily. But Freddie likes to extend his arms. I agree with him in this regard. If Freddie had a spell where he was striking out or in a little bit of a mini slump for him, he was getting the ball in on his hands up and in constantly, and he would chase balls up and in. And I'm surprised more teams don't pitch him there.
Yeah, good question by Blake. We appreciate that and a good observation. By the way, before we part ways, I just had somebody in my mind for the question about the rookie.
He's
cheating a little bit. I mean, Ichiro came in and was 27 years old and won an MVP, and that was impressive.
I know.
But I know that's not in the spirit of the question.
It doesn't – don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me at all. I think it's great that the players who come from Japan or Korea or anywhere else come in and are such a vital part of Major League Baseball, make it so universal. But a guy who's played 10 years in Japan and in the professional
not
league.
Not the true rookie.
Let's not go rookie of the year for those guys. You know, Chipper didn't win the rookie of the year because of Hideo Nomo.
Right,
Who had won 100 games or something in Japan.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I get it. Well, normally we have our episodes a little bit longer. We're squeezed for time today. We got Snit coming up. Got to interview him. And then get ready for our broadcast tonight. Braves and Dodgers this evening. Second game of this three-game series. The road trip finishes up tomorrow, and then the Braves head home, and we'll be there for six ball games and an off day in between those two series. So I know they'll be glad to get off the road, get back home, and try to get a win streak going. So that'll wrap things up for us.
Well, the other thing, too, is the Mariachis, we gave them the high sign, and they said they would take a break. So they're going to be able to get back to rehearsing.
They sounded great.
Yeah.
Feel free to email us, bravesbooth@gmail.com, and maybe our next episode you'll have your question read on our show. That'll wrap things up for us. For Joe and for J-Chad, I'm Ben, and you've been Inside the Braves Booth.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.